God has blessed you with are two different things, aren't they? The protection of God, the Bible tells us it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions, they fail not. But the Bible says they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. Can anybody testify today to that? So we're looking at my favorite psalm today. How can we get help from the Lord? But then we go on, and after this psalm, as the Bible was not written with chapter and verses, it goes straight into how can we get help from the Lord, and then it explains how we get that help. My help cometh from the Lord. I will lift up my eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. But then it tells us, how do we get that? How do we live in that safety? How do we have that? That will keep him in perfect peace, the Bible says, whose mind is stayed on thee. We understand where our help comes from, and then how do we get that help? Listen, I know where the help comes from. It's called 911. But I like to know exactly how close I am to 911 when I move somewhere new or when I'm in a certain place. I know that I live 1.3 miles from the fire department. I know that there's a fire hydrant right in front of my house, and I know how quick they can get there because I set the house on fire in the dryer, and so I had to call them. It was like TMZ Troy. Everybody in my neighborhood was out front looking and gawking. Are you okay? I'm like, I don't know. The dryer's on fire. They told me to get out. The dog's alive. The kids aren't home, so everything must be good. I wasn't cooking this time. You know what I'm saying? I listen to the old Jefferson song, you know, beans don't burn on the grill. They do when I'm cooking them. You know what I'm talking about? Now, anyway, I burn everything. I don't have any good jokes for you today, so I'll just tell you bad ones. Amen. Go to the book of Psalm 121, my very favorite psalm. We're going to stand for the reading and honor of God's word if you're able today. If you're not, we surely understand that and are glad to have you here. Brother Brandon prayed, but we do keep Brother Logan Hatcher in our prayers after a surgery. His family's watching online today. Our dear friend Steve Chapman, who had his triple bypass, his wife and lovely daughter Laura are here as well. And so we're glad to have them with us this morning, but our prayer is with him. And then Tori Buckner's little girl, Robbie. You know Robbie. She's having tonsils and adenoids and all kinds of things done tomorrow and tubes put in her ears. She's not been feeling well. And then we got a plethora of folks that are out. Brother Randy Bowles going through some severe kidney stones. We need to be praying for him. So he and Miss Wilma are out this morning. And some other folks with some sickness and seasonal things. So we'll pray for great health for all those folks. And the good news about this message is we know where to go to for the help. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. For the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Even forevermore, the Bible says, he shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. We look after this, and we see that Psalm 122 opens with something very interesting. We see where our help comes from, but now we see what we need to do to get that help. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That was a good cue for a hallelujah moment, wasn't it, Brother Bud? That was a good cue. I guess they're not glad to be in the house of the Lord. The 9 a.m. service, even they got it. It was nice to groom themselves and get in here. And when I read that verse this morning, the 9 a.m. service said, amen, we're glad to be in the house of the Lord. The 11 a.m. service said, we don't care. It's all good. We just hope preacher hurries up because it's closer to lunchtime when we get here. Amen. Let's say it again. I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Come on. All right. He continues on here, and David is telling us here, our feet shall stand within the gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. Let's pray. Father God, I ask now that you would hide me behind your cross, that you would help me, Lord, to be right in you. And Lord, that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness as we ask for forgiveness. Lord, we pray today that you would bless this time, that you would give us an unction to function today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We're going to dive right in here. Verses 1-3 talks about going to the place of the Lord. Number one, go to the place of the Lord. How do I get the help? How do I live in the help? What does the Bible say? The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. Go to the place of the Lord if you want help. Church should be a safe place for everyone. You hear me today? Church should be a safe place for all people of all walks of life, of all races, with all sins in their life. The church is the hospital for the sinner. We shouldn't keep anyone out that wants to come in. And no matter what is going on in their lives, we should welcome them, and it should be a safe place for them. Somebody said amen this morning. Church should be a place where Christians love to be. And then they see how they did. I said, church should be a safe place for everybody. They said, yeah, preacher. I said, church should be a place that they love. And they said, oh, yeah. That's good. That sounds all right. That sounds all right. Judge not lest you be judged. I understand that. But listen, you know I love my bed. The last month, there's been at least one weekend day where I didn't sleep in my own bed. 3 weeks ago, I preached. 4 weeks ago, I preached in Kentucky, slept in a hotel room. The next week, slept in a bedroom in Kentucky and preached at a church close by. That week after, last weekend, went to a men's conference and slept at a hotel that was nice, but the pillows were absolutely ridiculous. Isn't that right, Brother Anthony? Brother Anthony testified to that. We shared a room. We didn't share a bed. Amen. But listen, them pillows were disgusting. Boy, I'll tell you what, I was glad to get home. And then I came home this weekend, and my daughter said, Dad, would you sleep downstairs with us and watch Christmas? For the last month that I've slept somewhere other than my bed, and I love my bed. Now, the only problem with my bed right now is my dog thinks it's his bed. He thinks I just sleep there. I'm trying to figure that out a little bit. But sadly, 20% of American children have no bed of their own. They either sleep with others or they have no bed. 74 million children in the United States of America, which means 14 million have no bed of their own. But even more sad, 3% of those children, which is 2 million, have no bed at all. There are ministries, there's one in my hometown called Sleep in Heavenly Peace, where they're trying to find beds or build beds for children with no bed. And you know, I love my bed. There's no other bed like it. You could send me to a hotel and they might have some good beds. You might have a real good guest bed at your place. Brother Bill and Linda Salyer said, Pastor, if you come down here, I'm trying my hardest while it's cold in the heart of winter to find somewhere to preach so I can make it a business trip so I can go to Florida and stay in their guest room. Amen. They say, you can stay down here. And listen, they know me. I said, will there be food? Miss Linda said, well, of course, Pastor. I said, okay, I'm going to do some research. I know a big church down there, right there in Winter Haven, First Baptist Church, Winter Haven. I'm trying to make a friend real quick. You know what I'm talking about? And say, hey, would you guys be interested in having me come in just so I could do? I'll do whatever. I'll wash the cars, whatever. I just need a place to come down. I need to make it a business trip so the church can pay for it. You know what I'm talking about? Now, listen, having your own bed. I love my bed. I watch movies in my bed. I break the cardinal rule. I eat in my bed. I get dressed on the edge of my bed because I'm too old to just put my shoes on without sitting down these days. Snap, crackle, and pop sound like Rice Krispies when I try to get down there like that otherwise. And you know what else is funny about that? My bed is a place of comfort. It's a bed of peace. It's a place where I can go. And when I get into my bed, man, 2 seconds later, I'm out. My wife would be telling me a story, and I wake up, and she's already asleep. It'd be 3-4 in the morning. I'm like, dang it, I did it again. It's not because the story was boring. I just love my bed. My kids come in there and they just know dad's in the bed. Like, well, we ain't gonna get him up. He's asleep. I love my bed. And I think about these children that have no bed. Listen, isn't it good to have a church home that you can go into? Because I love to go into the house of the Lord. Because I love to be with the people of God and be in that place. It's a good thing. And I think about those children. A lot of people have a place to go to, but they never show up to it. A lot of people have this place, but if that wasn't enough for you, church is a place we are commanded to go. Look at Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. See, this is family gathering, but it's that time of year that we're talking about guarding our hearts and our homes. And so while we got the majority of the family here today, we got to go over this. We got to have a family discussion, amen? We got to have a family meeting this morning. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, the more as you see the day approaching. I liked cider for Thursday. Because I like to eat, and I like to eat the things that my family has at Thanksgiving. Generally, we only eat those things all together at Thanksgiving. And so I wait 364 days, and the anticipation is killing me. Amen. I'm excited to have all those things, the macaroni and cheese, the green beans and the chicken and all these different things, the sweet potatoes. And I don't really do cranberry sauce, but I know other people do. But the deviled eggs and the collard greens. And oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm excited. But why Thanksgiving is so exciting to me is because my father's birthday is December 6th, and we were never allowed to celebrate Christmas until after December 6th. So when I moved out of my father's house, it became a tradition in my house that on Thanksgiving, that night we go home and we put up our stuff and we put up our decorations and we start getting things out. So I get excited because Thanksgiving is over and now I'm getting excited for Christmas. Christmas. I love that. And when it's time for Christmas, I get excited because I don't just get excited about what's going on around me, but I get excited because other people get excited, even some that don't understand that they're celebrating the first advent of the Savior of the world, Emmanuel, as Sister Randy sang this morning. The first time she sang is Randy Backshider. Did you see that? Y'all was trying to spell the name. They're like, who is Randy Backshider? That's Randy. She got married. It's the former Mrs. Sternscher, and now she is Mrs. Backshider. Now, listen. I'm so excited this time of year because we get closer and closer and closer to Christmas Day. The Bible says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, you should be in the church. And I got news for you. We're getting closer and closer to the second advent of Christ. And it should cause you some excitement if you're saved. Because one day, the dead in Christ shall rise. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the air. And there, we're going to be with the Lord forevermore. That should bring you a little excitement to be with Jesus. Some people say, well, I'm afraid of the rapture. I don't know what you're afraid of. Some people say, what are we going to do in heaven all day? Well, the Bible gives us a wonderful picture. You want to know? We're going to go to church. I say, oh, Pastor, what are we going to do in heaven? Listen, you read your Bible. If I had a Bible reader in this place this morning, they would understand all the Bible says we're going to do in eternity is worship and praise and worship and praise. You got tired of worshiping and praising, and you just go fall down and worship and praise him. You say, well, how are we going to do it? Well, they say, you can change the order up if you want to. Praise and worship, praise and worship. You ain't got to pray no more because the light of that city is the Lamb of God, and he's there. You ain't got to talk to him no more in prayer because he's right there with you. So what are we going to do? Worship and praise, praise and worship. I wrote a song about it. Want to hear? Here it go. Worship and praise, praise and worship, and worship and praise. I just made that up on the spot. Now listen. Going to the place of the Lord brings safety. But I want you to see this. Number two, go to the people of the Lord, the brethren. Verse 4 says, whether the tribes go up. See the tribes, see the people are going. Church ain't nothing without the people. This building is hollow without the people filling it up. I preach different when there's a whole bunch of you in here. Gets a little warm in here. My hanky comes out sooner. I start yelling and screaming and hollering. Sometimes I write these messages. This message wasn't supposed to be. I wasn't supposed to get excited in this message. I was supposed to just come up here and just read it very eloquent and just give you this exegesis and exposit, and then all of a sudden, crazy thing happens. The Lord fills the place up, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon this place, and then it comes upon me, and I can't help myself but to get joyful in Jesus. Right, listen, the same Jesus that I celebrate and that I worship, listen, when you're having a bad day, when you got doubts, he'll turn them into shouts. You know what I'm talking about? When you got pain, he'll turn it into gain. When you got a, oh boy, he'll turn it into joy. That's the kind of Jesus that I serve. So I look, and it says, go to the people of the Lord. Look at 3 John verses 2 through 4. Beloved, see, we're supposed to love each other. Beloved, you ever heard me call you beloved? Sometimes I say that or I write you a letter. Beloved means you're in my love. I told Sister Britton the other day, you're under my wing. Get in here in the wing. Get under here. Stay right here. You're with me. I was talking to her. She's like, get off of me, preacher. I'm like, no, you're in the wing because you're my beloved. I got you right here where I can watch you. You know what I'm talking about? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified to the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I like to go to the place of the Lord, to be with the people of the Lord, because the people of the Lord are the only ones that are going to pray for me. They're going to pray for my good health, for my spiritual prosperity. It should be a place where the brethren should rejoice with one another, where if I win, you win. If you win, I win. Where we can cheer for each other. We can clap for one another. I might not be doing real well, but you might be doing real well. And if you're doing real well, I should still be able to clap for you. Somebody said amen. I may not have got the promotion that I wanted, but your job is going well, and I can still clap for you. I can cheer you on. The brethren, the place of God with the people of God should be a place where people can get excited and be glad because you're winning. Even if you're losing in your personal life, if someone around you is winning, you should still be able to rejoice and be grateful that somebody else has got it good. Ms. Teresa McInerney's here. She's holding her grandbaby, and I'm not there yet. My boys aren't married, and I'm prayer, but I'm jealous that she's got a grandbaby, and I don't. Because I'm getting to that age where, Grayson Xavier, I'm looking at you. Where I need them to find a pretty young thing. PYT. Pretty young thing. Anyway, the spiritual people didn't get it. The carnal people was like, that's Michael Jackson. Now listen, these things come to me. So that one day they can get married and so that I can hold it. Before I formally introduce it to the world, I must hold it up as Simba. Present it before the Lord. Take it and love it. But I'm not upset that the McInerneys have a grandbaby. I'm cheering them on. Praise the Lord. Caden, I'm looking at you. Your wedding is coming up. We're expecting more McInerneys in the world. And don't delay too long. Okay, now listen. I believe the brethren should speak the truth in love with one another. The brethren should talk about Jesus with each other, shouldn't we? I don't know much about deer hunting, but I heard that gun season's coming up. I heard it was youth gun season. And all I hear, I'm not even hanging out with like the country places. It's not TSC or Rural King. I'm just at regular places. I was at Panera Bread. Panera's not really the place where I would think deer hunters are at, but I was in Panera Bread and I heard somebody talking about, yeah, I'm going to get me a buck this year. It's almost gun season. They're all excited about it. They're talking about it. And I hear all these people talking about deer and all these different things. And I think to myself, deer hunters are so excited to talk about deer, but Christians aren't that excited to talk about Jesus. We as Christians, the brethren, we should be talking about the Lord and things of the Lord. That everything that we talk about, let our conversation become only the gospel, that it be seasoned with salt. Listen, we should be talking about the things of God and about the God, and we should be talking with the people of God about our God. Where do you do that? Well, the first place you do that is church. I won't argue with you about services or Wednesdays. I'm not worried about that right now. All I'm saying is this is a place. We say, Pastor, how's that going to bring safety? Well, let's keep on talking here for a moment. Look with me. Number 3, go to the pastor of the Lord. Now, I want to spend a little time here because it's guarding your hearts and our homes, and I'm not talking about me personally. I'm talking about what God gave the pastor for. Go to the pastor of the Lord. Look at verse 5. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. These thrones of judgment were appellate courts where the people could bring their civil issues that they didn't get what they wanted done in their villages, and they could take it into the house. And there, the biblical authority of the day, or the ecclesiastically authorized persons and civilly authorized persons, some dignitary, in David's time it was the monarch that did this, they were able to judge. You know the story of Solomon. And Solomon and the two mothers, or the one mother and the one thief, right? And not dividing the baby there, or telling him he was going to divide the baby. But what does that look like in the New Testament? The place that you get safety, the place that you get this judgment, the place that you get these things, help for these things, comes through the pastor of the Lord, through the man of God in that specific place. Now watch. Look at Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 15. We've got to put the Bible together and walk around some text here for a moment. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, that tells us that we need and that he gave some of these things. Now, where do you find those generally? In the church. Amongst the people of the Lord, because they are people of the Lord. But then, what if there's an issue? Where are we supposed to take that to? Look at Matthew 18. Matthew 18 and verse 15. The Bible says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass. And remember, it's not talking about a lost person. It's talking about brothers. You got an issue with somebody. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, or more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. So if we're going to go tell it to the church, then who is the biblical authority of the church? I'm glad you asked. Look at Titus chapter 1. Titus 1 verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, notice it says the husband of one wife, not the wife of one husband, I'm just pointing that out. But having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. And the Bible continues on and says, but he must be a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, and that he's holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now he's talking about the bishop, the senior pastor or the lead pastor of the flock. Why is that important? Why would you go to the pastor of the Lord? You see the people are going in there to go to the thrones of judgment. I am certainly not God. It says the thrones of the house of David. But it's a biblical authority to give you good judgment about the things going on in your biblical spiritual life. And to protect you from getting into different doctrines, as we saw there, or into harm's way. But I'm here to tell you to put the helmet on. And sometimes some of y'all don't like it when I say put the helmet on.
You say, the pastor, he's so mean. He's always telling us what to do.
Then you fall and say, ouch, I got a boo-boo, and have the audacity to want me to come to the hospital and see you. Well, let me show you something. Go to the man of God that God has given you. Now listen, they ain't got enough wrapping paper to wrap me up, but I'm a gift to you. They have to put me in one of those giant bags. Why? Because the Bible says that he's not self-willed. He's not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, all these different things. What does that mean? He cares more about the sheep than he cares about himself. He puts the sheep and their wants and needs before his own. Many pastors, myself included at times, put our flock's needs in front of our own family's needs. And you got to be real careful about that so that you don't lose balance. But he is studied and he's able to rightly divide the word of God to the sheep. And he's able to gainsay or to convince the goats to become sheep. He's able to also bring other people to Christ. Someone told me a long time ago, when you have a child, after you have a child, there's never a day where you don't worry. And I think that's true. You know, as they're young, you worry. You know, when they're older, you worry. Even I don't have any that have moved out, but I have a couple that are close. Well, one's adult, one's close to adulthood. And even at that, you know, when they're driving, they're at work. You know, those things come to your mind every once in a while. Are they okay? My parents, you know, I'm 42 years old almost, and they continue to say, you know, are you okay? Did you make it home safely? But I thought about this. A pastor has a double burden when they have a child. Because when you have a flock, you always worry about them. There's never a day that goes by. See, you guys get spam calls, and so do I. But sometimes I'm wondering, when that call comes in, your heart flutters a little bit, and you think, did somebody in my flock get in a wreck? Did somebody in my flock have a heart attack? You're always waiting, not in faithlessness, but it's always out there that something critical could have happened. It's always on your mind. When I tell you I never clock out, I never clock out. Somebody's calling me that I didn't expect to get a call from in the church family. Usually it turns out to be nothing major. It's always just something small. But as soon as they call, I go, why is such and such calling me? Especially when it's late at night. Why is such and such calling me at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night? One person called me one time. It was like midnight, and they called me. And I said, hey, how can I help you? My phone was due. I keep my phone on at nighttime. If I hear it, I pick it up. And they said, Pastor, I just wanted to tell you I was having a hard night, and I just wanted to tell you I love you. I said, I love you too. Now, can I go back to sleep, please? We can talk about it in the morning. But your heart flutters because you think something bad has happened. Now, that's the good news, but let me tell you something even better about why you go to the pastor of the Lord. Because a good pastor is unbiased. A good pastor won't judge you in a sense of putting you down. They may correct you, because that's a good thing. Everybody in this room, if you've ever sinned, you needed correction. And the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you need someone to judge you, to make you understand your mistake. Now, the Bible can do that, but sometimes you need somebody to exposit or open it to you, to show you where you went wrong, the error of your way. All the wives in the building say, man, oh man. Being a pastor must be a lot like being a wife, because I'm always correcting that man of mine, amen. I'm always trying to find something that he did wrong. But it's important that we understand, for protection, the shepherd is given to the sheep for protection, to keep them inside of safe hedges, inside of safe gates. And sometimes the shepherd has to go outside and find the one that got away from the 99 and take that one up and get it by the collar and bring it back into safety. I like it when everybody's just safe and they come to the place of the Lord to be around the people of the Lord, and I ain't got to chase them. I'll do it, but I'm getting a little too old to be chasing sheep. It gets tiring. My knees don't work like they used to. Now, I've never chased a church member down. Could you imagine what it would look like if the pastor saw somebody that hadn't been at church for a while, and he saw when they were trying to avoid him, because that's what happens at Walmart, and I started running after him. And I was just getting it. I was just, now don't be fooled. I'm fast. No, I'm not really. But anyway, I'll get one of them carts and I will catch you. You know what I'm talking about? I'll get one of them handicap accessible carts and I'll be through the aisles, knocking stuff over, like, you know, lasso them, boys, amen. And if I can't catch you, I got three assistants that are young and they are fast. And I go get them, boys. I think it's interesting to, a lot of people avoid it because they don't want truth. A lot of people avoid it because they're afraid, but God's only given it to you for safety. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. Number four, it all comes together here. Go to the protection of the Lord. All of the above, 1 through 3, help to bring peace and protection to God's people. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You know, there's no better place to seek God's protection and safety than his house. Think about it this way. If it were raining and lightning and sleeting and hailing outside, every wise person in this room would go to seek shelter. The world is raining and lightning and sleeting and hailing sin and bad things all around us. Yet people still refuse to come into the place that God gave us for protection and for safety. But you know why? I have a theory of why that doesn't happen. couple weeks ago, Brother Anthony called me. Brother Sean and he and some of the guys are part of a bowling league, and I guess they must have needed somebody. They must have been desperate, and they said, Pastor, would you like to come out? It's just for fun. And I said, no, because I'm not about to go out there and roll a 50 while y'all's rides are rolling 145s and 160s and embarrass myself. So no, I'm not good at it. If I was going to bowl and I wanted to do it, I would go and I would try to, I'd go where nobody was there that knew me, and I would try to get good at it, and I would try to get competent before I went out to bowl with them. Because the bowling alley has something that disturbs me. It's called a scoreboard. And it's kind of like this monitor, and you put your name up there and it shows how good or bad you are at bowling. And unfortunately for me, because I'm awful, you put your name up there. Now, you could have like little fake names, a little stomach ache or, a little pistol starter. If you want to put a fake name in the community to know who I am, that if I was bowling and even if I had a fake name, they'd be like, oh, Pastor Bryson, which one is you?
Well, sir.
Oh, 45, huh? Then I'll turn into a striker. And the Bible clearly says I can't be that. Now listen, not bowling like this. Now watch. That's one of the reasons, maybe it's pride, but that's one of the reasons why I don't like go bowling, because everybody sees all my business. But there's this little inclination I have about people that don't really like to go to the house of the Lord, that they're under conviction, and they think that everybody knows what their score is. They come in and think everybody knows they ain't been reading their Bible. They come in and think everybody knows what they've been thinking. They come in and think that everybody knows they ain't been praying. They come in and they're under conviction, so they stay away from the protection of the Lord, and then they put themselves at more harm and more danger by not coming into the place. Listen, what would it do to the church? The churches would be empty if every time we walked in, all these screens had a scoreboard of everybody's sins, of everybody's mistakes, of everybody's problems. The screens wouldn't be big enough to bear all the issues and things that are going on. But that's sometimes why I think people avoid it. But let me just tell you this, and let me be very clear and very kind with you this morning. This is the exact place that you're supposed to go. If I wasn't so prideful, to go and bowl with my brothers is the exact place where I could go get better at it. Rather than trying to jump in some league where I don't know nobody, then they really are making fun of me. At least if my brothers are making fun of me, they're telling me the truth and the love. They're saying, Pastor, you're awful, but we still love you. We'll buy the pizza because you're so bad. Amen. But the world looks at you and they don't care nothing about whether you're right with the Lord, because they don't care nothing about you. But your brothers and sisters, your pastor, care about your protection in this place.